Morning. Morning. Welcome to Bethesda Lutheran Church here on the third Sunday after Pentecost. I'm glad you're all with us this beautiful morning here in Malmo, Minnesota. It's another glorious day outside, so hopefully you'll get a chance to be out there and enjoy it and not get too bitten by the bugs, you know. Yes, I'm so glad you're all with us this morning. As usual, we do have a number of announcements, so please keep that in mind. I'll go through a few of them, but if we had to read all of them, we'd be halfway through the service already. So, let's see here. Keep in mind, there is a funeral on Saturday, June 23rd, for Rose Peterson. So that'll be here at Bethesda. For those that may know her, I know she spent the last several years down in Malacca before she passed at the Elam home. So their past, the chaplain there will be helping out with the service. So I'm happy to have him kind of reflect on her life a little bit since he got to know her better than I. Another note in there again about budgets for committees and committee chairpersons. Thinking there about the No-Bake Bake Sale fundraiser. Something in there about, of course, the Vacation Bible School is coming up, and then there's a shoebox ministry as part of that. Let's see what else. Of course, the Malmo Lions are doing a community picnic and are looking for donations. And let's see. Oh, adopt a highway ditch cleanup. So if you want to help beautify this our area, please keep that in mind on your calendars on Friday, June 15th in the morning. Women's devotions are coming up tomorrow. And I believe, before I get to Sandy here in a second, may have noticed we are having a baptism at our second service. Sort of not a regular member. They live up in Duluth now, but I believe their first child was baptized here, so they wanted to have their second child. So this is the baptisms for our little boy, Mason Matthew Wehrman, and parents Melissa and Braden, and their sponsors are Matt and Amanda Sorby. So prayers for them this morning. And Sandy, the little temple talk. So. Okay.
Nobody will be able to see my head. I'm here to talk to you and maybe explain a little bit about the No-Bake Bake Sale. This is for me because I'm a no-bake person. The No-Bake Bake Sale will be donated to the food shelves for the summer. We will only do this the month of June, and the money will be divided then to go to the food shelves who we've heard are in dire need for summer. In fact, Isle is ending up being open twice now a month rather than once. So all you have to do is take this little envelope, and we have a basket outside the door as you go out. You put your check or money inside of, well, we said you should figure out how much it would cost for you to bake brownies, and I would have no idea about that. So I just put money, whatever money I want to give to the food shelves for the summer, and we will send it to them. If you have any questions, you can ask me, or this is Barb Forrester's idea that she saw out in Arizona. You can ask us about it, but it should be very simple. Your checks can be made out to the Bethesda Church, and then we will, at the end of the month, divide it and give it to the food shelves. While I'm up here, I would like to tell you about our new directory. And I know you've heard about it, but you don't know that we've contracted with Life Touch, and they will be sending you either an email or you may get a voicemail. The recording will be our minister telling you what to do. He didn't know that, but it will be. Our minister will record a blurb about what's happening, and it will tell you how to sign up. It's not junk mail from Life Touch. It's from your church. Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy.
Yep.
And I know part of the reason why we're doing some of this photography and trying to update the church directory is to help, 125th next year? Something like that? One of our big anniversaries is next year's. 100 years. Okay. So I know at some point, too, we'll try to get like a big group photo as well. So that'll be kind of fun and a way for us to kind of be ready for next year. And again, it's a wonderful idea to sort of support our food bank, food shelves in the area. Certainly I know for a lot of you know, you think of a lot of those school-age kids who maybe get additional food support when they're at school, but in the summertime, they don't have that additional way to get a little extra food. So it's nice to be able to support support these ministries in our community. All right, if there aren't any other announcements, anybody have anything else? Yes. Oh, it is group. It's next week. Yeah. So, start. You know, getting your haircuts done and wax your mustache. Yeah. Awesome. There's so many things. I just kind of blank over them. Yeah. Group photo. Yeah. Next Sunday. All right. So please keep that in mind. Hopefully the weather will cooperate and we'll get Melanie. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get her up on a nice tall ladder, hopefully, or a cherry picker or something. I don't know, and take a photo of us. So, all right. Well, if there aren't any other announcements, then we will prepare ourselves for our opening hymn 705. 705. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses, and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us, while we were still sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. All, let us pray. All-powerful God, in Jesus Christ, you turn death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him, that we may triumph over all evil in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Amen.
I'm hoping that that selection, Sheila, wasn't based on my sermons. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Our main reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. And the Lord spoke through Moses, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel. Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Sounds like great advice. Follow it. The end. Amen. I'm done.
All right.
Just kidding. But you know you weren't getting away with a sermon that short. Especially now that you're all awake, right? You know, but it does sort of feel that way, doesn't it? We are in the meat, feels like the meat of the Ten Commandments this week. Right, last week we had the vertical a little bit, now we're getting the horizontal. And this stuff seems pretty obvious. You know, why do you even need a sermon on this? Don't murder seems pretty clear cut. Not a lot of elaboration necessary there. And even when we struggle with these commandments, in their most clear-cut and literal forms, we usually know we're doing something wrong. I'm pretty sure a bank robber didn't fall into a life of crime because they skipped church on that one Sunday that the pastor was preaching about the Ten Commandments. And yet, of course, we live in a world where these sins are far too common, even amongst good church-going folk. We struggle with them ourselves on a regular basis. And just when we thought we were maybe safe on the whole not murdering thing, you know, the other is okay, we struggle with now and then. You know, Jesus comes along in the Gospel of Matthew, if you remember, and elaborates that it's not just those who literally are stabbing someone with a knife, it's those who are maybe staring daggers at another person, are angry in their hearts. And so too with adultery, right? It's not just that you dishonor your spouse in some way, dishonor another person. It's when you have those thoughts in your heart, you know, when this has infected you in some way, this sin, that too falls under these commandments. And so we feel even more convicted by the law of God. As we talked about last week, we see again, as I just said, you know, in full force, this idea that you know, both this relationship with God is at play, but also our relationship with other people. That God is trying to teach the Israelites as they've come out of the land of Egypt, as they've come to the holy mountain, he's trying to teach them as they're wandering in the deserts how to be a people again, how to relate with one another in healthy and productive ways, to not give in to their most selfish, their most cynical, their most base tendencies, right? When you are feel like your back is against the wall when you're struggling, then you often have the most excuses not to be nice to other people. But he's trying to teach them how to rely, how to draw on the better angels of their nature, how to draw on love for one another. And I think it's helpful here again to remember those opening words that God gave Moses to speak to the Israelites, right? It wasn't, okay, here's a list of rules you need to pay attention to. It's, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." and that opening to the people, I think it's more than just some sort of divine guilt trip. Not a sort of, hey, listen up, folks. Yeah, you remember me? I'm the one who got you out of this horrible situation. So, you know, you owe me big time. No, I think God, again, you know, it's God is trying to teach them to be a new people, a better people, a holy people, an example for the nations, but also to be a truly free people. You know, that this old life you lived was a life of slavery in more ways than one. You know, you fell into a life of slavery that wasn't just imposed by some oppressive outside force. That was a lot of it. But part of that sins of Egypt made you sort of enslave yourselves in other ways. You know, Christianity and religion in general, I suppose, often gets this reputation as being something that is meant to control people, to restrict them, to put these like jail bars of morality around people. And I think, you know, part of the reason it gets that reputation is because that is sometimes what happens, right? Leaders, whether religious or secular, often use or, I suppose, misuse religion to make it a system of control, to work out goals that may be in some way noble, but may in other ways be very much selfish. But just as forcing people to follow a moral code really isn't the same as morality, these rules, too, remind us that anarchy isn't exactly freedom. To have no rules at all, to just leave people to their own devices, isn't always the best idea either. Because we are prone to giving in to our darkest and most selfish thoughts and desires, and that's not really freedom. It doesn't certainly feel very free. Anger, for example, whether it drives us to murder or not, can become a prison, can very easily become a prison. If someone hurts someone, you know, if someone hurts someone we love, you know, we imagine all kinds of horrible punishments we might enact on them. But how easy it is to get into a cycle of violence, of vengeance and retribution. You know, we've seen this a number of times in a number of different places throughout the history of the world, whether it's on scales that are, you know, world war kind of scales, or sort of local scales, right, like the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, these tensions build and build, and people do something horrible to another, and then, you know, they do something back, and do, you know, on and on, until people forget what started all the tension and the anger and the mistrust and the hatred in the first place. There was a great Star Trek episode once where they discover this planet. And, you know, they go there, and there's some sort of warring factions, and then one of their party dies, and then the next morning they're alive again, and they're kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Well, it turns out that this is this prison planet that, whether as a punishment or as an example for the rest of their society, there are these two groups that were sentenced to this moon or this planet or whatever, and they're always at war with each other, but then when they die, they're resurrected. And so they can just keep fighting, right? The cycle of violence keeps going, and they can never leave the planet either, because then they would die. There's some sort of, you know, space magic microbes or whatever, or who knows what, that's making all this possible. But basically, you know, they're just sort of locked in this eternal struggle. And I think it's a great sort of, if not entirely subtle, way to show how violence can become a prison. You know, the people were free to do whatever they want on this planet. It's not like they had to fight one another. And in fact, that's kind of how the plot of the story progresses. There's this religious leader that's along with the crew, and they're the one that dies at the beginning, and so they decide to stay and help show these people a way of peace instead. You know, but without all the space magic and the sci-fi, you know, this can happen in our society as well. You know, we often think of freedom as something that we need to fight for, and we do. There are many times we do need to fight for our freedoms and for the freedoms of others, but sometimes we also need to fight for peace, right? We need to create compromises. We need to build agreements. We need to take that risk. What was the refrain in our first hymn this morning? To have the God give us wisdom and God give us courage. You know, courage isn't always something that happens on a battlefield. Sometimes it happens in meeting rooms. It happens in legislative bodies. It happens in places where we take the risk of being peaceful. You know, we need both of these aspects in our society. You know, we think, again, of all these hot-button issues in our society where we don't always seek the cause of compromise. We feel that as giving something up, as a weakness instead of a strength. You know, we have this ongoing issue of, I mean, gosh, you know, of gun violence in our society. And we already talked, you know, a couple months ago about just how contentious that is and how there's so many different sides to it. And yet, here again, a couple months later, we are still kind of in the same position as we've been in for years and years and years. We seem to think that our freedom means just simply endlessly bickering with one another. And yet, when we think about it, that doesn't really seem like freedom, right? It feels like we're trapped in some sort of cycle, if not exactly violence, and certainly in contentious debate, and we never are willing to find a compromise, to go for solutions. You know, we are a society that has lots of these different issues of one kind or another where we just get locked into this cycle of talking past one another instead of talking with one another. And that happens with, you know, these sins that are spelled out in our society, right? Or spelled out in our commandments this morning. You know, when we create a world where these sins are okay, or when we just sort of let them just sort of float by, when we let ourselves get locked in this, we forget that this is not exactly a freedom that we would truly enjoy. You know, it may not be forcing people, you know, it's more than just about forcing us not to steal. It's not just about forcing us to care for our elders, but creating a world in which we want to care for our elders, where we don't want to steal from others, where we want to be generous to others instead, where we don't want to cheat people, but we want to help other people, where we want to help build other people up, where we don't cheat on other people, but we try to show honor to those we have made commitments to show respect for one another. You know, where we don't go freely and lie to others boldly in public, but where we want to tell truths, even difficult truths, but to also speak generously of one another and kindly about one another and show understanding toward one another. God is trying to create this kind of a world for the people of Israel and for us too, to create this world that is much stronger with these sort of guidelines in them. Our sins, unfortunately, have a way of imprisoning us, not just those that we hurt, but ourselves as well. And so God is teaching them and us a way of love that sets us free. You know, the commandments are not bars. They are something more than that. Reflecting on the Ten Commandments, Professor Rolf Jacobson of Luther Seminary wrote that the purpose of the law is not your best life now, but rather your neighbor's best life now. Because we are stuck in this fallen condition called sin, and because we are going to remain stuck in this condition until God unweaves all the fibers of creation and then reknits them in a new creation. And so God says to us, for as long as you're here in this condition, love your neighbor. And we respond, okay, God, we're down with love, but how do I love my neighbor? And so God clarifies. Let me be a little bit more clear, right? He gives us the Ten Commandments. He teaches us these laws. And Professor Jacobson continues, because the law isn't about you. It is about your neighbor. And God loves your neighbor so much that God gives you that law. And God loves you so much that God gives your neighbor the exact same law. You know, it's a wonderful gift to us. It's not meant to hold us back. It's not meant to take the fun out of our lives, but it's allow us to live our lives more fully and to allow us to live our lives more fully on behalf of others. A new life, a free life, a life born of the Spirit, a life lived to the fullest is one where we don't just live for ourselves, but we live for others, for our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, for the people that drive us nuts, for people halfway across the world. These are the lives we are meant to live for those people, to take the risk, to take the courage to fix the wrongs we've done, if not to fix them, to then to repent for them, so that we might all live together
happily and freely. Again, these commandments are not bars on a cage, but a calling, a path of love that sets us free. Amen.
Please stand as you are able. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, we join with the church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. Lord God, you call your church to be one and teach us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Overcome our separations in the body of Christ and make us one diverse family, the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. Lord God, with you there is forgiveness and hope, and you love your whole creation. Help us order our lives so that human activity in your creation gives voice to hope. Empower us to bring healing in your world. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. Lord God, you still walk among us, and we still hide ourselves from you out of fear. We withdraw from strangers and those unlike ourselves, the very people you call us to love. Replace our fear with trust. Remove enmity between nations and grant us peace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord God, your compassion continually reaches into the lives of your people. Visit with loving kindness those who experience afflictions of any kind. Renew all of us and prepare us for glory so that we do not lose heart. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord God, more than those who watch for the morning, our souls wait and watch for you. In the coming months of summer, help us to be refreshed and at play, watching and waiting for you at every turn. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Good and gracious God, we lift before you the prayers of our community. We remember in prayer the family of Rose Peterson, who mourn her passing. We remember in our prayer with joy and thanksgiving Matthew Wehrman, and his parents Melissa and Braden, and all those who love him and seek to care for him in his life ahead. And we give thanks for the baptism that will take place in a little while. And, oh God, we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Merciful God, continue to be with those who suffer in the wake of volcanoes and earthquakes and natural disasters of all kinds. Be with those who suffer from man-made disasters, from all those sins, all the violence that we perpetrate against one another. Bring peace, bring understanding, and bring forgiveness. Lord God, you raised Jesus from the dead and promised to raise us with him and bring us into his presence. We remember those who have died, and we thank you for your steadfast love and power to redeem. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers in trust and thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Oh, there's a little hole here. Yeah. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Song never ends. It just keeps going. Let us pray. Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace. For you are Lord forevermore. Amen. May God, who has brought us from death to life, fill you with great joy. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is printed on an insert.
whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.